Good morning, everybody. Nice to see all your faces this morning. Sheila's having a little trouble with her Wi-Fi, so she may be in and out this morning. But she's back. Yay! Okay. So it's as always, it's wonderful to be with you here on this autumn morning of 50 degrees, but blue skies, so that's nice. Again, it's great that we co-create this sacred sangha of Jewish spirituality, nourishing our practice each week, a blessing in itself. So this week's Torah Parsha is Bereishit, the first parsha in the Torah and in the book of Genesis, which describes the origins of the world and its inhabitants. In the creation stories of other ancient Near Eastern and Mediterranean cultures, the world comes into being through violence and through the actions of heroic and semi-divine protagonists. In contrast, Bereishit presents the peaceful creation of a good world by a supreme God, a world inhabited by one of God's prized creations, human beings, who will play a decisive role in the world, as we see. So, just a brief summary of the Parsha. There are two creation stories that differ significantly in their style, the order of creation, and in their portrayal of God and humanity. The first one offers a cosmic account of the world's creation in 6 days. God creates the world in 6 days. On the first day, he makes darkness and light. On the second day, he forms the heavens, dividing the upper waters from the lower waters. On the third day, he sets the boundaries of land and sea and calls forth trees and greenery from the earth. On the fourth day, he fixes the position of the sun, moon, and stars as timekeepers and illuminators of the earth. Fish, birds, and reptiles are created on the fifth day, land, animals, and then a human being on the sixth. God ceases work on the seventh day and sanctifies it as a day of rest. The second creation story provides a more intimate and anthropomorphic narrative focused on the Garden of Eden and the origin of humanity. The narrative in Parshat Bereishit moves from a sort of like a wide-angle lens that focuses on the creation of the entire world in the first creation story to a zoom-in lens that focuses on the personal and intimate relationships between human beings and that human beings have with God who creates them in the second creation story. So God forms the human body from the dust of the earth and blows into the first human being, blows into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, a living soul. And then God was made in the image of, and man was made in the image of God. So a quick diversion from the brief summary. When King David prayed for spiritual renewal, he said to God, "Create within me a pure heart and renew within me proper breathing." This is from Psalms 51:12. And one more diversion. The soul of man is a lamp, a light of God, from Proverbs 20:27. The Hebrew word for soul, neshama, can be equated with the Hebrew word for breathing, neshima, rendering the verse, "The light of God is the breathing of man." And that comes from Likutei Moharan by Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. And one more. Shefa Gold says, "Our challenge is simply to open to the gift of each breath and enter the process of freeing our attention so that we can receive in radical amazement, the newness of each moment. So back to the brief summary. Originally, man is a single person, but deciding that it's not good to be alone, God takes a side, a rib from man, and forms it into a woman and marries them together. Now we have Adam and Eve, who are placed in the Garden of Eden and commanded not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The serpent persuades Eve to violate the command, and she shares the forbidden fruit with her husband. And because of their sin, it is decreed that man will experience death, returning to the soil from which he was formed, and that all gain will come only through struggle and hardship. Man is banished from the Garden of Eden. Eve gives birth to two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain quarrels with Abel and murders him and becomes a ruthless wanderer. A third son, Seth, is born to Adam. Seth's eighth generation descendant, Noah, is the only righteous man in a corrupt world. And that's sort of how the Parsha ends. So there's a lot here. Kabbalists, as well as the rabbinic texts in Pirkei Avot, say the world was brought into being with 10 utterances or divine pronouncements corresponding to the phrase, "And God said." That's how the 10 utterances start. And I think the 10th one is in the beginning, because there are only 9 "And God said" in the Parsha. These statements represent the divine will shaping the world. While only 9, I just said that, and the 10 utterances correspond to the 10 spherot, or attributes, through which God created and interacts with the world. The spherot are the divine blueprint, or informational commands for creation. The utterances are the step-by-step process that builds the world according to that plan, with each utterance representing a different sphera. The Zohar says that God looked into the Torah and created the world. In other words, the Torah already existed before God created the world. And man looks into the Torah and sustains the world. So not only do we sustain the world, but we are continually creating the world by our words, deeds, and behavior. Our practice guides us to cultivate mindfulness in our relationships and interactions, so that our mindful intentions will create a world that is beneficial to ourselves and to others. We have the possibility to create ourselves anew by being present in the moment and being mindful of what arises and embracing with loving kindness all that is present. This is our ongoing practice. This is what Buddhists call right action, good intention, behaving ethically, and taking responsibility for our actions, our words, our speech. Just as God uses speech to create the world of Bereshit, God says, "Let there be light," and there is light. We too have the power of speech to create our world, not only with those we love, but with those in our community and beyond. Words create worlds. Our mindfulness practice empowers us to use speech that brings compassion and goodness into the world. Professor Art Green states that God calls each aspect of existence into being by stating its name. The first creation story is God's creation entirely through speech, beginning with light. This means that ultimate power, that by which things come to be, resides in language. And we all know through our experiences how language can be loving and helpful, as well as cruel and destructive. And again, our practice helps us to cultivate not being reactive, so that we do not bring hurt, cruelty, or destruction into the world. Rabbi Michael Lerner shared that the great Hasidic teacher Kedusha Levi, riffing on the line in the morning prayer Yotze or Uverechoshech, who creates light and shapes darkness in the present tense, points to creation as an ongoing process. This interpretation provided one of the foundations for, he's talking about himself, his teacher, Abraham Joshua Heschel, to say that human beings are potentially partners with God in the healing and transformation of the world, Tikkun Olam, because the creation is not yet finished. We are here in part to do what we can, enabled by being created B'Tselem Elohim, in God's image. Rashi in Midrash Rabbah states that the Torah's first word, Bereshit, is an acronym for Beit Reshit, two firsts. The second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Beit, stands for the number two. This is to say that the world was created for the sake of two things called first. First, Reshit, the Torah, and then second, the people of Israel. The seventh day appears as Shabbat for the first time, even though it's mentioned in Parsha Bereshit. It appears for the first time in Exodus in chapter 6 in relation to manna. For Kiddush on Friday night, we say as we raise our cups of wine, on the seventh day, God completed the work that he had made, resting on the seventh day from all work he had done. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, for on it he rested from all the work that was created. And every Shabbat celebrates creation, says Rabbi Shefa Gold, and thus the continuing recreation of our world. Creation begins with light, or, which is another word for consciousness. God wraps us within our garments of skin, or the light, which is light made dense. Our physical bodies and the whole world that we see enfolds the light of creation. This is Shefa Gold. In this way, our world reveals and conceals the light of creation. Describing creation, the Zohar says, the silkworm wraps itself within and makes itself a palace. This palace is its praise and a benefit to all. She goes on to say that our journey of consciousness and light leads us through the embodiment and the palace of existence to enlightenment, where God waits for us ever present. From the purity and innocence of Eden, we journey forth through duality, represented by the tree of good and evil, through self-knowledge, suffering, and mistakes, towards the tree of life, a tree that is rooted in divine reality with branches that find their flower in humanity. The blessing comes as we receive a vision of the palace, the physical reality, and let its praise sing through us. God is here inside all creation, radiant and waiting. The teachings of Kabbalah address the mystery of how the divine becomes manifest, how the infinite enters the finite, and how we possibly bridge the chasm between God and creation. Kabbalah gives us the image of the tree of life with its roots in heaven and its branches reaching into human awareness. The ten sfirot, which form the pathways from the infinite to the finite. The tree of life is a vehicle for blessing. It is the connection between heaven and earth, between the infinite and the finite. The 7 days correspond to the seven lower sfirot of the tree of life. Each of these 7 days and sfirot blesses us with its own gift. This is from Rabbi Shefa Gold. So she goes on to say, with the creation of life, consciousness, the dividing light from darkness, we receive the blessing of chesed, of love and flow. With the creation of the firmament, the separation of the waters from above and the waters below, we receive the blessing of gevura, boundary, strength, and discernment. With the creation of the land, sea, and vegetation, we receive the blessings of teferet, beauty, harmony, and balance. With the creation of the sun, the moon, and stars, we receive the blessing of netzach, endurance. With the creation of fishes and birds, we receive the blessing of hod, sparkle and variety. With the creation of land, animals, and humans in God's image, we receive the blessing of yesod, foundation, regenerativity, and creativity. And with the creation of Shabbat, we receive malchut, the indwelling present. She goes on to say, in receiving all these blessings, we enter the palace where we may hear the praise of all creation. Then the power of our shining awareness, overflowing gratitude, and resplendent praise can send all of these sparks back to their source. The challenge lies in becoming co-creators with God or the divine, knowing that the world is being recreated at every moment, and knowing that I am created in God's image. I am challenged to open myself to the flow of goodness and to let that flow be expressed through the workings and play of my life. So, some questions to ponder. How do we, as individuals, bring light into the world? How do we partner with the divine or our own spirituality to bring more of this light into the world? How does our individual behavior affect the world? How might our behavior create more beneficial effects within our relationships, communities, and the world at large? So, we'll take a moment. And then we'll open it up for discussion.